Tell me the story of what led to you auditioning for The Voice, and just kind of lead up into this video that I've watched of you walking out on stage and your wife and kids behind stage and her going, there's daddy, and you walk out there. And Chang, every time I listen to one of your songs or watch one of those videos, I get chills, man. I'm telling you, in that final show, you were robbed by the young teenage girls of Australia. I'll just tell you that on their vote. That's my opinion. But tell me
Yeah,
about
well, it is a big market,
that is. But man, so you're on The Voice Australia. What led to that? And then I've got some questions about the journey once you're in that.
I don't know if I can actually say it, but I'll say it anyway, because so I was actually approached to be on the show, and I'm not sure if I can say that part, but it's been said, so there it is. And when I received the email, at first, it was just kind of an invitation to come onto the show and to apply an audition. And I think they had scouts around the cities that had a hand in knowing about us. And so, at first, when I read it, I was like, "Oh, spam." So. Delete. And then it just kept coming, so I was like, oh, I think it's legit. And so I mean, obviously, initially, I never really wanted to do those shows, because you get everyone telling you over your journey as a musician. If people like you, they it's something that you hear a lot, like, oh, you should go on, Australian Idol, or you should go on X Factor, or you should do this, you should do that. And I mean, although it's been in the back of my mind, I never thought I'd really act on it, just because I didn't have a good enough reason to do it, but then I didn't have a good enough reason not to do it. So it was always in the middle. But I mean, yeah, if I was to do it initially, I would just want to share my songs with the world, and obviously carry what I do in an intimate crowd setting on a big platform. And so that was part of why I went for it in the end. I was like, you know what, I don't want to wonder what could have been when I'm 60 years old, full of arthritis. And I believe God, and I believe God calls us to the biggest platforms that life offers us, and to the biggest opportunities that we give. And because I'm a youth worker, and I motivate young people and empower them, I always tell them, whatever opportunity arises, if it's in line with what you're passionate about, and where your talents lie, and if that bus comes, you've got to take it. Because my line is, because like my dad always says, when you miss the bus won't miss you. And so there was that element as well. And yeah, we prayed through it, and yeah, just really felt at peace with making the most of this opportunity to share the gift that God has given me with, not just people around me, not just with my local setting or my local church or district, but you know what, if I can share this with Australia and share this with the world, and be a positive light throughout that experience, and it's a risk I'm willing to take. And so, yeah, then I went for it, and then, yeah, long story short, I technically finished fifth through the competition. But yeah, it was an amazing experience. But that's what led up to it. And then throughout the, like, just to get to the blind audition is an amazing experience, because there's still rounds that you have to go through before you get to the blind audition. But yeah, just the fact that I was able to be a voice for many, and to share part of what I do from a day-to-day experience with everyone. Yeah, it was awesome to be part of. And then on set, there were a lot of people that I met that were beautiful people. A lot of people, the same with the people that I meet at gigs, that came from broken relationships or were in broken relationships or weren't in the best headspace or not in a good situation in life, that I was able to be a light to with another brother. So I met Ben Sakali, who was the other Samoan brother in the competition. Yeah. And he's a pastor's son as well. And he's also a worship leader and does a lot of youth work.
Sweet.
Are you still? Oh, sorry. Someone tried to call me. I might go on.
Are we good?
But, yeah, I don't even know what I said. Yeah, there was another brother who was pastor's son, youth worker, and involved in much of the same work that I was involved in. So we got to, feed off each other and, you know, keep each other accountable and help those people together. And just, I guess, be an ear. Because a lot of the time, people were keen to talk and just wanted to be heard. And maybe for some that was part of their story was that, you know, they went their whole life not being heard and wanted to share something, but no one would listen. So that was a positive part of the experience as well. But I'll leave it at that so you can ask me questions rather than me going on.
Well, you got into some of it. It's great, but I just, after being around you for a little bit back in the day and knowing your heart and just how much you love Christ and just the light and the hope that radiates through you in Christ and just how much fun it is to be around you. I just wondered what did you feel like your role was behind the scenes of The Voice? Because, you know, you're in this competition and I'm sure there's different approaches. Like some people are like, I'm just along for the ride. We'll see what happens. And other people are like, it's cutthroat. I want you out, get out of my way and everything in between. But then you got this Samoan brother on there named Chang that's just making everybody smile and just we love to hear him sing. And so what did you kind of feel like in your relationship with Christ as you navigated all that, that's all brand new, where did you find kind of your place in that journey in following Jesus in that?
Yeah, I guess just being a vessel of like infectious love and contagious spirit that was from God and from Christ. Just to be a presence that was real and a presence that was unlike anything else. Because a lot of the time we get fed, like, you know, things that aren't real, or, you know, we become tied into circles that that are kind of like even like fun or interesting or brand new, whether it's like certain types of interviews or going on certain shows, but at the same time it's not real. You know, it's not the real life. It's not the life that I felt that I was called for, and certain avenues and streams. So I guess for me that was a big part of the whole journey, was just being that pillar of like realness and like just to ground each other, just to keep people grounded and keep each other reminded of like the meaning of life and the purpose of life. Because there were a lot of people that were devastated, like, and were broken, that they put their whole life into this journey. They put everything on hold. Some people quit their job to go on this show. People broke up with relationships. People had set themselves up in a way that was a sacrifice, like I couldn't believe it. And so for me it was just like a big part of my purpose on there was just being that reminder of real life and just showing them another way and saying things that were different to what they were hearing and what they've seen in their life and what they were seeing in front of them on the show. That's big part of what I felt called for, to be that presence to them.
That's awesome, man. This question isn't quite as deep, but I think it'll take us deeper. It'll take us to a deep place. But I asked you this before, but tell me again, why did you pick Boy George as the coach. You had all four coaches in front of you, and you pick Mr. Boy George, dressed flamboyantly as he is. And I remember him as a little kid in the 80s, man. I remember Boy George on MTV. And I see my friend and brother go, I'm going with Boy George. Tell me about that.
Yeah, man. Well, firstly, from a musical perspective, just his whole career, I admire the length of his career. And I did want to get insight and wisdom from his noggin underneath all those beautiful hats. but also, I just wanted to get to know him because obviously, you know, people get told a lot, whether it's the newspapers or articles online. But, you know, obviously his lifestyle difference and you know, calls for attention in the, you know, Christian world was one that, you know, I've always been the type to attach myself to people that were different or people that live lives that we see as, well, that, you know, a lot of people see as like an abomination or see as a threat to society or see as kind of a roadblock to the Christian faith. But for me, I've always been that guy that's like, you know what? No, it's we're called to be part of, you know, lives that... Yeah, hang on a second. Wait, let it come in a second, okay? Oh, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you were just talking about... I'd ask you about selecting Boy George as a coach, and you were wanting to get to know him and just your heart for people that other people might just be like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to bother getting to know them. But you've always been drawn towards people that others might reject. That's kind of what I was hearing you say. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And, the same way that I wanted to be a real light and presence towards people on the show, whether they were on the set or part of the contestants, the same that I wanted to, be in relationship with Boy George because I really did want to get to know him and part of our calling is to, you know, share Christ with whoever and to be real. And so he's actually a devout Buddhist. And so we're talking about faith a lot and we're talking about, you know, the spiritual life and how people view us. And, yeah, I've always just been drawn towards that. So I have friends who are gay and I didn't want to have that. I wanted to show Australia as well that, you know, you could be Christian and you could be friends with the world. Because that's a big misconception when, you know, especially in Australia, because now, you know, it's you can be legally married, whether you're, you know, gay, lesbian. And, you know, the church was very vocal about that. And there was a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths from some of the stuff that people said who were Christians. And then, a lot the church, and I felt like that bridge is yet to be built between, you know, the two communities. Whether some are for it or not, like, is the fact that, you know, relationships are being broken up between the church and the homosexual community. And so, yeah, for me, I wanted to draw the line. I was actually expecting a lot of flack for it, but I actually didn't get any except a few text messages from close friends. Very godly text messages. But you know, I understand the tension there. But for me, I was more concerned with building real relationships with real people, and people who needed to have those relationships. And I felt like, I was that guy in that time that I was given, and I felt like I did what I set out to do, plus more. And God's just been amazing through that. But long story short, that's it. I don't know if I answered that either.
No, that's good. When you know who I was concerned for, like my big when I was watching that happen, what I was concerned about was for Boy George, because he had no idea what he was getting himself into. I loved it too when the banter went back and forth, and he's like, "Youth is just something that happens to everyone." You know, it's like. it's not your fault that you're young. It's okay. You know, I love the way he responded. So I'm wondering, what did you learn from him as a coach, and what things did you feel like were really valuable lessons that you're carrying with you now?
Just the way that you carry yourself physically on stage. He was talking about the weight to the words that we sing, and not just the purpose behind the words or the meaning behind it, whether it was from the writer or, but how that's our truth. So whether it was a little help from my friends or finding the songs that are emotionally sad, but putting the joy into it, which is so funny because we talked a lot about that sort of thing, like regarding life. And but yeah, there's something about him as well. But that was the biggest thing that I took from him musically, was not just passing on the message in a song that was, you know, that it was meant for, but like the truth that we have as well as people and as artists and just as singers, how do we, I guess, magnify that truth, or how do we magnify that lyric? But yeah, the way that we place ourselves physically on the stage when we walk, and how intentional we are with those moves. And so for me, like when I'm singing, like, or when I'm doing a gig, I don't think about that stuff. Like, I don't think about, but I guess it's different as well on the show, because we actually had to be intentional about the steps that we did, or the way that we move on stage, more than we had to on a normal gig. But yeah, that was one thing that I took from him when it came to stagecraft and yeah, being emotionally connected to the song. That's one thing I took.
See, was there anybody that was like a part of the you know, the people that you see up front, or other contestants, or just people behind the scenes that no one else would see, but was an encouragement to you, and you drew encouragement from? I mean, I know your wife and your kids, and you know, I know, yeah. I know Emily's just supporting you. I saw your parents. I think it was during the Johnny Be Good one where they're on TV and stuff. And I'm like, I know those people. I've been to church with those people, you know? But who were your encouragers behind the scenes that maybe nobody knows about?
Yeah, that's great. This guy named, there's probably a few, but one that stands out, well, two that stand out are the vocal coaches and the music team. So there was a guy by the name of Brendan and a guy by the name of Luke. So their job was to teach us the song and to run with us, like what parts of the sections that we were going to use and not use. And so sorry, man.
He's all right. It's just life. It's just being a dad. Just keep rolling.
All right, I'm good. So the two guys would have to be Luke and Bryden. They were like, I just felt they were my biggest supporters. They acted as the cheerleaders and the biggest support. They made sure that we had a smile, and if we didn't smile, they wanted to know about it. They were really concerned about our well-being. They were concerned about us personally, each and every step of the way of the comp. Like, they had psychologists and doctors and things, but you know, they were more than just a vocal mentor. They became like a life coach, in a way. And so, yeah, they were just always concerned. They just really, you could see the passion that they had for their job musically, but the same way that I guess I carry myself, that we're not just musicians, you know, we're more than just people that sing songs or people that, you know, have to learn some lyrics. And I really gelled well with them a lot, because of just their heart, beyond the music, and just their care around, because I felt we became really good friends, and we still keep in contact as well. But it was, those two that probably had the biggest impact on me. So Bryden and Luke, yeah.
Okay, cool. What are one or two major takeaways from you from the overall experience with The Voice that you feel like are life lessons that you're carrying forward from the overall experience?
Oh, there's so many. So, yeah, one of, I don't know how loud those coins are in the
Don't
background,
worry
those
about it,
guys.
man. It's okay. I love it. I think it adds to the conversation.
So, one of the biggest things I learned that, I mean, it was obviously an affirmation from what I was talking about before that, you know, the stages that God calls us to be a part of are the biggest that this world can possibly offer and give, and that every opportunity, at every opportunity, and at every door, every step of the way, is not just an opportunity to share Christ, but to share what Christ has, you know, made us to become. So, or the life that we've lived is, it's good enough. How, no matter how bad we don't think we deserve it, or we're not worthy, or that it's not for the world, in case that we may seem cocky or like unchristlike, or if we may be, I don't know, seen as proud. But the fact for me was like, no, like, you know, it's not ungodly to be proud of who you are and what you do, and actually flaunt it in a not cocky way, you know, not be cocky about it. But I mean, obviously Christ works through that and takes care of that anyway. But yeah, for me it was just that it's okay to, when you're yourself, in every setting, that lives do get changed and people get touched. And I heard from